HPR's Ashley Mazzullo has been digging deep into the issue of triggers. Ashley, good morning.
Good morning.
What's so important about this?
Well, you know, we still haven't really had any concrete information from Governor David Ige on what would trigger restrictions to help stop the virus and when things can ease up again. And this comes as the county officials closed bars, cut the size of gatherings, and have rolled back on reopening in many other ways. There's just not a path forward because there is no model available publicly right now. Models are meant to give policymakers and the public a glimpse at what could happen if certain decisions are made. For example, if school reopened or if travel was opened up. States across the country have developed their own statistical models that kind of illustrate resorting to certain restrictions that could stem the spread of COVID, but Hawaii hasn't had one yet that is publicly available. Or if the government officials have it, we as the regular public haven't seen it. There are also national models out there, but one of the most memorable of them being the one from the University of Washington back in April, but it doesn't really address Hawaii's unique conditions. I spoke with University of Hawaii's health economist and chair of the Hawaii Pandemic Modeling Work Group, which is basically a group of local experts in public health, data, and economics. She explained how Hawaii is different compared to other states.
Hawaii has different characteristics in terms of population, an older population, a larger proportion that's Asian and Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander. And most importantly, we're in the middle of the Pacific and we don't exactly have high volume of interstate transportation, and we have stronger control of the interstate migration piece compared to other states. Other models may or may not account for that.
And then Nick Redding from the Hawaii Data Collaborative, who's also part of that same working group, said a local model could allow for more flexibility here in Hawaii.
We can be much more adaptive and responsive to shifts that occur in terms of understanding the likely consequences of those shifts and understanding what the near and intermediate term might look like. What we learned earlier is if we're beholden to generalized models where they take one model and then they put each state's data into that model and report that, like the University of Washington model, it leaves us in kind of a precarious place in terms of being able to be more responsive to local questions.
So basically, HIPAM, which is our working group, has been working on a Hawaii model that could help government and businesses and residents just get a better idea of when COVID may trigger restrictions, which are those trigger points that you really hear Governor Ige and the mayors talking about pretty often.
But, you know, 5 months into this thing, why don't we have one yet?
Basically, the people who are doing the modeling, or at least like the HIPAM group or like Nick Redding at the Data Collaborative, they just don't feel like they have the crucial information that they need to make a really accurate model, even though this sounds like a tool really similar to what county officials and business community has been really calling for. Fan says she can't get testing data broken down by lab, daily COVID hospital admissions, or any really concrete specific information about contact tracing, which she said contact tracing is one of our only tools to prevent spread. And it's really hard to grasp the quality of contact tracing. Like, how long does it take between the time the person is tested and then notification received that they're positive? And then how long is it until they are their close contacts are notified? And how long does it take the Department of Health to then isolate? We really even have any idea of how many DOH is really monitoring at any period of time. Fan isn't the only one who says that there needs to be transparency too. UH epidemiologist Thomas Lee, who also served as the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency's lead COVID-19 modeler and forecaster, he also called for more transparency. He said it has been challenging to compile all the data sources for public use.
But now, doesn't DOH have that dashboard?
Right. So DOH does have that data dashboard, but it's mostly just cumulative numbers, like the total number of cases, tests, deaths, hospitalizations since the beginning of the pandemic until now, which Lee says isn't super useful for modeling. He thought it would be really useful to break down the daily case counts into categories like race or socioeconomic levels and travel versus non-travel, and then use that to look at trends. Fan and Redding use the 7-day averages as to not get thrown off by sudden spikes. Lee thought that doing something like that at a more individualized scale would maybe help the state make better decisions based on who's getting the virus and where and how it's spreading.
What I mean by individual level data is daily data, but also data broken up by more specific categories like race, ethnicity, travel versus not travel, returning residents. Once you have those categories, then you can break it down by how many of those particular categories were tested every day, what type of test, where they all contact trace within 24 to 48 hours, how many of those ended up in the ICU in terms of, you know, how many of a specific ethnicity or socioeconomic status. And the reason why that's all important is because it helps just provide a better understanding of what we're really seeing in our state. And I know DOH reports some of the information, but it doesn't provide a lot of context. It doesn't really provide a lot of the hospitalization data, which we don't really have. I think Lieutenant Governor is one of the few sources that we do have in terms of publicly available information.
So how does Hawaii stack up when it comes to sharing all this data publicly?
Not great. Prevent Epidemics is a team of global health experts, many of them coming from the CDC under the Obama administration. They rank the states on the information it makes available, and they call them essential indicator availability. These are things like the number of people in isolation and the time it takes to get back tests or the number of healthcare workers infected. And Hawaii does pretty bad. It had a score of 13%, and only 7 states actually ranked lower than us. But to be fair, most of the country is missing critical information. For example, Minnesota was the state with the highest percentage, and it only had 43%. Dr. Shapar, the director of Prevent Epidemics, said that a huge problem there is the lack of federal guidance. So because the federal government didn't tell these states or counties that these are important indicators that everybody has to track, everyone just started tracking different data and different reports and reporting in different ways. And, you know, the chart that Prevent Epidemics came up with really reflects that there is no standardization between the states for data reporting. And that's a huge issue for Hawaii in particular when we need to know what's going on in other states to restart tourism again. But despite our low ranking, Shapar said that Hawaii might be in the best position of all the states to fill those information gaps.
Hawaii is set up to actually be kind of a model or a star when it comes to data reporting and just addressing some of these things around the detail, around the cases and hospitalizations, and then also the contact tracing, because it's at a good point in the pandemic. And I think this is the time where you start to say, okay, we put out all this data. Now we have a low number of cases. Let's beef it up so that if it gets worse later, we already have these systems in place.
So what's stopping us from actually, you know, being the leader for the country, a model for the country?
Right. Lee says it might be because different departments and agencies in Hawaii just sit in information silos and just aren't really sharing what they know with each other. Like maybe it's a communication issue.
I would say the information does exist. It's just the data systems or whoever's in charge are not speaking with each other, or there's a lack of a coordinating figure or authority to put this all together. My guess is there hasn't been a single voice that has said this type of data dashboard for public consumption is necessary. I think there are sources that are internal that capture some of this, but what we've seen is a lack of transparency and consistent public education message. And that starts with just being honest and presenting the facts and the numbers to the public, because if not, they're not going to trust what's going on.
And, you know, that's one of Lee's biggest concerns was public trust. And he says that starts with the realization at the top that saying this information should be public, because the public doesn't trust the government if it's telling the truth for things for masks that have been proven time and time again to help slow the spread of COVID-19, if everyone was wearing one. We even saw this during the House of Representatives COVID-19 meeting on Monday, where we had people like Ray Vera, the president of Hawaii Pacific Health, and Carl Bonham at the UH Economist, and even House Speaker Psyche asking the Department of Health for information and just not really getting a sufficient response. All these people are basically saying, just give us information we're asking for and we'll help you see what your options are and maybe lead us to having a better understanding of decisions being made by our health department, governor, and mayors when it comes to the spread of COVID-19.
All right. Okay. Ashley, thank you so much. Good story.
Thank you.
We've been talking to HPR's Ashley Mizuo. To read her story, go to hawaiipublicradio.org.